Hallelujah. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What is it you are chasing so much here? Until you do anything here just to have it. Even at the risk of your soul. Sister, be very sincere. All that leg you open for all those men who say, I'll marry you. It's not because you're anxious to marry. You don't want to lose this one. So make an opening for them. And risk your soul. For something that's better that is prepared for us. Oh, glory be to God. And so, Belshazzar dishonored God and packed those hallowed vessels that were used for sacrifice, for offerings. Hallowed. Hallowed. The Bible says it is abomination. How did he put it? To defile the honored hallowed things of God. Something like that. God, it's risky to do that. That's the way Proverbs puts it. It's risky to do it. Because things that are already dedicated unto the Lord, things that are used, vessels of worship, and then you go and defile it. That is why Apostle Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You go and defile this temple with anything that defiles, including fornication. He said, whoever defile the temple of God, say, he will God destroy. Belshazzar, defiled the things of the temple, and it was too much for God to withhold his peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why Babylon was destroyed. And when we speak about Babylon, as it affects us now, there is the physical or political Babylon that started with Nebuchadnezzar and ended with Belshazzar. But there is also the ecclesiastical Babylon. And it is called Babylon the Great. Because if Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah 51, Isaiah 13 tells us that Babylon was destroyed and it will never surface again, then which Babylon did John see in the Isle of Patmos that was prophesied? Amen. Let's read Revelation chapter 17. And it is that Babylon that is reigning now. Okay? Now, if we read Revelation chapter 17, hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters. The physical one has been judged, having fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah and the prophecy of Jeremiah. But there is another one. Amen. Okay, let's read the verse. A judgment is also passed upon it. With whom, verse 2, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Somebody shout, woman. Somebody shout, now, woman. And that woman referred to here is the same woman in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Read that one first. Let's read that one first. Matthew 13 and verse 33. Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman shouted. Shout again, woman. Shout, woman. Church, shout, woman. It's the same woman. It's the same woman Jesus was talking of that the angel again took up John to show. He said, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. The 3 measures of meal, leaven there, is her doctrines. Is her doctrines that she took 3 measures of meal. The 3 works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He mixed it together till the whole meal was corrupted, leavened. He's the same woman. Go to chapter 17, Revelation. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads. And 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and the scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 5, there gave her 3 names. 3 names, 3 identification. Number 1, she was called Mystery. That is, you can never understand her. The way she operates. Unless God open your eye, you can never know who she is. But God has opened our eyes. We know who he is. He is no longer a mystery to us. The second name that you bear is Babylon the Great. Hallelujah. Babylon the Great. So, all these names are identification for you to know who this woman that is there sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. She's always sitting on a beast. The Antichrist is always sitting in a beast. That horse, is it not a beast? And it's talking about a power. There is always a power that supports her. Hallelujah. And the third name is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Okay, let's put it this way. It's 4 names. She is first Mystery, second Babylon the Great, then number 3, mother of harlots, and number 4, mother of abominations of all the earth. She's the mother of 2 things. Let me talk about the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Which verse am I myself? Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So this woman killed the saints. This woman destroyed the martyrs. He was responsible for all the martyrs of Jesus. This particular woman. All the history of martyrdom that you know in Christian faith, in all the history we know, it is this woman that was responsible. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did thou marvel? Why are you surprised? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, one thing about Bible study is that, you see, some of you have read this before, but it didn't make meaning. Now the meaning is coming out small, small. Small, small. The beast that thou sawest, now it's given a description. Was and is not. And I shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That is the beast. That is the beast. Not the woman, no, the beast that the woman sit upon. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life. Because from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Why they will not wonder? Because they are God's elect. Only those whose names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will not wonder. But all the rest will wonder because their names are not in the book of life. And it's not just because your name is in the book of life, but all those whose names are in the book of life, God called them his own. He will reveal things to them. That's the power of revelation. And verse 9, and here is the mind which had wisdom. The seven heads are seven, is trying to tell you to locate where that woman is now. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman seated. So, look away from Saudi Arabia. There's no mountain there. Now there's a fool there. Look away from America. Look away from China. The location of this woman, where the woman is located. Okay. And there are seven kings. Five are falling, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. It's telling you because you will use history to now understand where he's talking about. And this history is talking about the Roman Caesars. Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is of he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition, destruction. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, at the time that John was seeing that revelation, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast, the European Union. At the time of John, when he was in the Isle of Patmos, nobody knew there would be any union made up of all those countries that have formed that union. All the European Union nations, all of them, they were all under the Roman emperors. That one by one, they broke away when that power was destroyed, wounded, but yet it came to life again, according to the Bible. Verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beasts. They shall make war with the lamb. This shall make war with the lamb. Where will they make war with the lamb? At Armageddon. When Christ will be coming with the bride, he's telling you what will happen. He's trying to make identify who they are. In Revelation 16, it spoke about Armageddon. That is when Christ will be coming with us to take over the earth, that battle. Okay? For he is Lord of lords. Okay, verse 14 again. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Now we be that. How many of them are here today? How many chosen are here today? Chosen? God bless you, chosen. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore, that woman, seated, they are what? Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And finally, verse 18, that is the key. And the woman which thou sowest is what? That great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Which city is that? Vatican City. Surrounded by seven hills. That city is also called Babylon. So, there is the ecclesiastical Babylon and there is the political Babylon. Political Babylon ended with the king of the Medes coming that same day and taking over the kingdom, destroying and killing Belshazzar, and then establishing the second kingdom known as the Medo-Persian Empire. It ended. But remember, it was not Belshazzar. It was not Nebuchadnezzar. There is a spirit behind them. If he did not succeed political, he will succeed spiritual. Instead of now physical Babylon, in the city of Babylon, he created his own spiritual Babylon and put a crowned king there. Can you see why they wear crown? He's speaking something. Praise the Lord. I have read that history. It's one of the most interesting history you can read. I used to tell people, I say, the problem with the Christians is that you just come, your mama born you for Christianity, so you're a Christian. That's all. That's all. Amen. You have not bothered to find out the history of the faith you hold on to. History will help you to determine where to stand now. Even when there are questions glaringly before you, you will ask them. The simplest question that you will ask is, when did the Church of Jesus Christ break into denominational factions and, you know, what we have today? When did men begin to take all the titles that we bear today in Christianity? I mean, you are not sincere. That is one thing with us. And that is why it's so difficult to preach the gospel to anybody now. You hear somebody tell me, you don't preach salvation. Why are you criticizing? What is salvation? And that's why people look at us and call us critics. That's how they describe. I better leave that man. When I only criticize, they criticize. I am not criticizing. Listen to what I am saying. I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Hallelujah. It's the same confusion. It is the same confusion. Babylon. What is he intending to do? To build his own. Remember that they were to build a tower so that they will reach up to heaven. Abby? Why heaven? They know that they have been disconnected from heaven. So man is looking for a way to reconnect back to heaven. And then Satan, knowing that you are looking for Abby, I will help you and inspire them to do things that they were doing until God himself came down and scattered it. And Satan said, you scatter my own, I will scatter your own too. And then here you see again, getting a group of people. How did he achieve this? Because it is called Babylon. Babylon means confusion. Two groups of Christians began to spring up to fulfill the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the wheat and the tares. And that farm is the church. Matthew chapter 13. The good man went and planted good seed. The owner of the farm planted good seed. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. So the two of them began to grow. By 300 AD, the Christian faith began to witness another group of people coming up And then arguing the apostolic doctrines because all the apostles have died. They killed them. So who would they make reference to now to know the truth? So the argument started between them, according to the history, I'm paraphrasing it. And that confusion was on, and the division in Christianity was going to take place, and was already existing, and there is need for the people to come together. But truth and error cannot come together. Water and oil cannot mix. And so, the devil then met the existing emperor at that time. Emperor Constantine, who had a battle to fight. While he was thinking of that battle, he had a dream where he saw the sign of the cross appear before him, and a voice spoke to him, "By this, conquer." He woke up, and since that was the sign, the symbol of the Christian faith, he felt it was the God of the Christian that was talking to him. He had many gods. He had many gods. The Roman Empire is the continuation of the Babylonian Empire. It's the same spirit. And so let me see if I can add this other god. And then before you know what, the history tells us, is there in the history book, even elaborately there in the exposition of the Seven Church Age book by William Branham. You can read it there, and you can also read it in so many other history books. And before you know what, he got all his soldiers to paint a white cross, sign of the cross, on their shields. The God of the Christians has spoken to him. But the truth is, it was not the God of the Christians. It was a satanic agenda at play. And before you know what, amen. They went for that battle with the sign of the cross. Praise God. With the sign of the cross, and he conquered. Satan will make sure he conquered. And when he came back, it now gave him some respect now for the God of the Christians. So he will want to add that God to the many gods that he has. And since the Christians were so many, if he can win them all to him, that would be wonderful. And the false vines, those tares that the enemy was already using to begin to fight the apostolic doctrine and water down the faith, quickly went to him, you see, and converted him. Do you know the meaning of that? Converted him. Supposedly converted him. And then he decided to become born again. Say after me. And the bishop of the church in Rome led him to Christ. Say after me. Holding the cross and the Bible. And they won the emperor. And he became a member of their church. Is that not how some of these denominations have these big politicians as members of their church? Say after me. And before you know what, they must give you a position in the church commensurate to your political clout. And so, the false church now had the backing of the state. That is all Satan wanted to achieve. The state now, the government now, Christianity became a state religion. But this wonderful empire, born again empire, Emperor Constantine, could not have these two groups of people fighting and The false people came to him. Why not call a meeting so that we can resolve this, our differences, so we can be one? What is the fight all about? The fight about is that one group believes that God is one. The other group says there is Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These same Trinitarians also believe that baptism should not be in the name of Jesus. Baptism should be in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This same group also believe, hallelujah, on the authority of a man ruling the church. But the other group believed in the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. And they are all Christians. So, the great Emperor Constantine decided to unite them in a meeting that was held in the city of Nicene in AD 325, according to the history. They gathered there and then a decision was taken. Amen. And it is in democracy that the majority will have their say, Abby. The majority will have their way, but the minority will have their say. You only say, but the majority will have their way. And so, the majority won with even the vote of the emperor, because remember that already the man wants to have more gods. And now you are saying there is three. So Christians, you already have three. Three gods. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Co-equal in power. That's reasonable. And so it was in that meeting that water baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost was adopted as a Christian doctrine. Trinity was adopted as a Christian doctrine. And fivefold ministry put aside for one leader to be leading. And it was signed and sealed. Whether you protest it or not, the emperor has signed it. Anybody, it was also agreed in that same meeting, that anybody that goes or preaches contrary shall be called heretic and shall be liable to sentence to death. That was when the persecution began. That was when the horse rider turned to red. But there were people that refused to follow. And the history says, whatever that Roman church now adopted in enforcing their errors against those that stood for the Bible truth, they killed 68 million believers. So you know why she's drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus? Babylon the Great. And before you know what, the bishop of the church in Rome, since the political head of the empire was in Rome, therefore, the ecclesiastical leader, which is the bishop, has to also be in Rome. So all other bishops of other regions, you are commanded by decree to now be under the bishop of Rome. And for the unity of the faith, you cannot say anything contrary to him. He has the final say. Anything he said became law. It is that office. And we are. The church was built, known as St. Peter's Basilica. Be Barcelona. Basilica. Footballers, we call it Barcelona now. Where that church was built became so powerful. Hallelujah. Now by the time we get to chapter 7 of Daniel, you will see that little horn on top of that beast that made it the 11th horn. 10 horns, but one little one on top of that beast. That little one. That became so strong until he plucked off 3 of those other big horns. And that was when he was asserting his power. With all Christians now loyal to him, and the whole of Europe dominated by the Christian faith. Any nation that tried to do nonsense there, he will just give an order to all the Christians to disobey the king and humble the king. The king will come to him and bow. Then he will restore him again. It started small, 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 small. It was another Babylon that was in action. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is that office that metamorphosed and grew to be the Vatican today. That little city that is having influence in all the earth. It has her police. The head of that city, Vatican, is the most respected leader in the whole world. And he cuts across all religions, all cultures, all traditions. Because their faith makes room for you to accept their kind of Christianity and still continue your idolatry. Because they themselves, with the union of the state and the church, there must be some compromise for them to work together. And so they began to look at the Roman religion, the hidden religion, and see how they can merge it together with Christianity. And then you can see the history of the worship of Mary. The woman was already being worshipped. A woman, Semiramis, was being worshipped. So, for compromise purpose, according to the agreement, hallelujah, what will happen? They changed the name to Mary, Mother of God. Can't you see the seriousness they take in worshipping that name, Mary? It's not Christianity that produced the worship of Mary. They only used the Christian terminology for an idol that was being worshipped before. And they already had ancestral gods that they were worshipping in Rome. The god of their ancestors. Depending on how powerful that ancestor was before, he is always idolized and given an area of command in man's affairs. The worship of ancestors is what they change to the veneration of the saints. Saint Jude, Saint Peter, Saint this. It's the worship of ancestors given Christian coloration. I'm saying something. It's in the history. Carry me anywhere. I will bring the history books. And no Catholic has ever written contrary to defend it. Because it is the truth. There were already a system of getting women to go into celibacy. That was already existing. It's a name. I've forgotten the name they call it. That was existing. That was changed to nunnery. Nuns. It was already existing. And the emperor, was he not known for the kind of dress? He had a crown on his head. And he dresses like a king. How kings dress. He has a throne that he sits on. You know what I mean? When you turn and look at the head of the Vatican, when you turn and look at the Roman Catholic religion, the head, known as the Pope, then you will understand himself and the emperor, they are all emperors. One spiritual, one physical. It's the same spirit. It is a continuation of Babylon. That's why it is called mystery. That's why it is called Babylon the Great. That's why it is called mother of harlots. Why is it a harlot? Because instead of staying true to the true apostolic doctrine, faithful to the one true God of Israel, he mixed idolatry, that itself is fornication, and then sold it to nations, and billions of followers all over the world hold on to that which that city exported to the whole world. Now, they say she's a mother. If it's a mother, then she has daughters. You cannot be a mother without a child. Who are those? Those that are the daughters. They're the same denominations that broke out from her and holding on to the same doctrines. They drop many. But there has to be something about you that must resemble your mama or your papa. There must be something about you that must resemble your mama, must resemble your papa. Look at the bishop today. Where will a Pentecostal pastor grow from ordinary pastor to reverend to this, and then finally bishop and archbishop? Where did he copy it from? He's from his mama. That is why they will never see the revelation of baptism in the name of Jesus. That's why they will never drop the doctrine of Trinity. There must be something to let you know, you and I, the elect of God, know their origin. So that you know their origin. You know their origin. Was there no Nicene Council meeting that brought them to become one? Every country has Christian association of that country. So that they come together. Why we disagree? We are one. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not saying this to bring down anybody. Like William Branham will say, that in those systems, there are wonderful people there. There are true children of God there. It is not the people we are speaking against. It is the beast system we are talking against. We say it so that those who are sincere there will catch it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He looked at the disciple, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus told them, you are of your father, the devil. He said, and his works you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And what are they doing? Are they not also now? Amen. You speak against their faith. You speak against them, they will kill you. It's the same spirit. Our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. When they came to arrest him, one of the disciples, I think it was Peter, that drew a sword and was going to fight with a sword and cut the ears of those people that came to arrest Jesus Christ. Jesus took that same ear, fixed it back, healed him, and rebuked Peter. And they say Peter is the first bishop of Rome. But he said, why will you do that? Don't you know that he that killed by the sword will also die by the sword? That statement is still valid today. The Roman Catholic Church existed by the sword, and they will end by the sword. It is thus said the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mystery Babylon. So as it was in the political realm, so it is also in the ecclesiastical, political Babylon. So also it is in the ecclesiastical Babylon. Idolatry. Worship of images. Worship of man. You have not seen them kissing their leader, kissing his ring and all that blood. It's a seat of Satan. With all imaginable wickedness coated with the Christian faith. Praise the Lord. The same way they tortured in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and the other empires, so also they are tortured, along the history, they tortured the believers, they tortured the Jews. And so the mystery Babylon. Mystery or Babylon the Great, ecclesiastical Babylon, is the same religion with the political Babylon. That's why it is a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle Paul called it before it began to form. He noticed the trace of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. He said that for the mystery of iniquity doth already. The mystery of iniquity. That's why she's called mystery. That mystery was already forming. Before finally Apostle Paul was taken away, all Apostle John taken away, and they had a field day. Nobody again for them to make reference to. But take note that before the destruction of Babylon, there was a handwriting on the wall. Revelation chapter 14 verse 8. Revelation chapter 14 verse 8. Let's read it. As it was written that day, and they needed a Daniel to come and interpret. See, concerning this mystery Babylon, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is falling. It's falling. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She is falling. Many, many tekel of her sin. Hallelujah. And all of them are reading this, and they are reading it in Babylon without knowing the meaning that it is handwriting on the wall. Nobody knows which Babylon it is. They know there was a Babylon. And it destroyed forever. So which one is John talking again? But we, the bride, we know. We know. Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. Can we read it? Matthew 16, verse 2 and verse 3. As I round up shortly. But let's read some scriptures. Jesus answered and said, what does it say in verse 1? Verse 1, 2, and 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Then he said, oh ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? What is the handwriting on the wall today? Is the signs of the time. Which time? The time of the end. He said it in Matthew 24. Let's read it. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, verse 3, Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So, the signs of the time, which time? The time of the coming of the Lord, and the time of the end of the times of the Gentiles. that Daniel prophesied that at the end, in the days of the fourth kingdom, which is the Roman kingdom, Roman Empire, he said, that stone that was hewn without hand will come and smash that leg that was made of iron and clay, which is the Roman Empire, and then establish his kingdom. And that's talking about the coming of the millennium. But the sign of the end of the kingdom of Babylon was written on the wall. Everybody saw it. The king saw it. The leaders saw it. The princes saw it. Everybody in that feast saw it. There is a revival now. Another feast of the Shazar going on. And yet, in the revival that the Pentecostals and the Christian world are seeing up and down, mighty anointing going on in Nigeria, going on in South Africa. Hey, sons of the prophets, some serious revival. Take it, people are falling. Mighty signs and wonders going on. In the midst of it, there is a handwriting on the wall. And people are seeing it and they're not understanding it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 4. Number 1, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Is it not going on now? Church, is it not going on now? Is there any age that you have seen the type of anointing that is going on now in this age? Like this age? Verse 6. And you shall hear of wars. Not war. Listen. When I read this before, I used to think it's First World War. It's Second World War. So there's Third World War. Wars. No. But he said wars. He said wars. World War was the whole world versus one section. It ended, finished. But at a particular time now, there is a war in Syria. There is a war in Iraq. There is a war in Nigeria. There is a war. Everywhere now is a war, 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 war. All over. War, war here, war there, war here, war there, war everywhere. No peace anywhere anymore on earth. The signs of the time. And rumors of war. Rumors of war. Even we just escaped. Some Igbo people ran away from the north to the east. And Yoruba Hausa people ran away from the east to the north. Because there was a rumor of war. The sign of the time. He said, hallelujah. And see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. He said, but the end is not yet. Because a greater thing is going to happen for the end totally. For nation shall rise against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, hunger, hunger. Nigeria, instead of you to call it hunger, you say recession. Now the same language is hunger, famine, and pestilences. Now, at the same time, HIV, dead there, bird flu, dead there, monkey pox, dead there. Very soon now, chicken pox, dead there. Very soon, big pox, dead there. Very soon, human pox, because people eat human beings. Everywhere, pox, 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 all pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Handwriting on the wall. And he said, they are the sign of the end of the times. But while they are doing that, the United Nations, they are saying, peace, peace. And the last week of Daniel, The Antichrist will attempt to come. We'll do it because he said it will happen. Daniel saw it in Daniel chapter 9. We have a covenant of peace. To have peace in the whole nation. He is going from place to place and telling them peace. So that there will be peace. He's entering mosque to worship with them in the mosque. He's entering Buddhist shrine to tell them we are one. He's organizing the communical council to say we are worshiping the same one God. They are looking for peace. But my Bible tells me when they shall say peace, what will happen? Sudden destruction. That was what happened to Belshazzar. He said, while he was realizing there is peace, while he was doing that, the history I read said that he did not know, or rather he knew that surrounding him, the soldiers, the armies of the Medes, were surrounding the city. But he was so sure that his walls were fortified. No way he just looked down on them because they had to be so close. Because the Bible says, that night that they were holding that feast, it is the same night that the handwriting was on the wall. The same night that the Medes just walked into the city. While they were rejoicing, while they were relaxed, while they were in feast, sudden destruction came that ended Babylon till today. The last Babylon also, as we see it, described severally. Let me give you the scriptures because of time. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 24, is the last state of the destruction of this mystery Babylon. Revelation 18, verse 1 to 24. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 21. Revelation 16, verse 13 to 21. The battle of Armageddon, which ends it all. That is why God sends his elect a message in these closing days of time. What is that message? The message is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Please, let's read it again. Verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians. This is the end time message. The end time message is not blah blah and say, don't do this, blah blah blah. It's not like that though. This is the end time message. 2 Corinthians, what does it say? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This scripture here, there is the primary application before the secondary application of marrying somebody who is not in your faith. The main reason for this scripture is, listen, it is Babylon. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, that is the end time message. That is the midnight cry of Matthew chapter 25 verse 6 to the virgins. That is the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 as the Lord comes to take his people home. What does he say? Wherefore, come out from among them, the denominational system, and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. That is what is repeated in Revelation chapter 18, It is the end time message. Revelation, let's read it. Chapter 18 and from verse 1 to verse 5. Revelation chapter 18 from verse 1 to verse 5, where he says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power." Hallelujah. "And the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, This Babylon is not Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. It is the Babylon that of that woman, that whorish woman, where she belongs. Babylon the great is falling. It's falling. And it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins." Please take note that that voice came from heaven. That voice did not come from a man on earth here. That's why I believe, hallelujah, that the sounding of the thunders will be done by men, but they will only be re-echoing what they will hear from the Spirit. Hallelujah. "And I heard another voice from heaven," verse 4, "saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." That is the end time message. Come out of the denominational errors. And when we say come out, it's not about the change of address. There are people that are sitting down here, but they are still denominationals. There are people, why do I say so? They said they had the message that God brought through William Branham, but what are they doing? They are deifying that man, William Branham. Have they had the message? What is the difference between them and that mystery Babylon? You cannot preach. You can't preach without mentioning the name William Branham and expect that they will listen to you. You are correcting the prophet, because the Catholics believe that the Pope is infallible. So, and then they are the same people that claim they are now followers of the message. They left the Pope to hold on to another man called William Branham. And they are the ones that will tell you that William Branham is infallible. Everything he says, thus said the Lord. We know who you are. Our eyes are open by the same spirit of revelation. Elect can never be deceived. Satan has pushed the same old serpent, pushed people again, pushed his ministers to kill the light of the restoration ministry. But God has his own. There are some of us that we hold on to this word. And the world will hear us and come out of Babylon. May you come out of Babylon. And that is why I try by all means in this ministry to preach and produce a people that will look up to Jesus, not unto me, their pastor. It's very difficult to achieve it. Come out of her. That is what you were brought up with. Your former pastor told you he has the final say. Your former pastor told you he will account for your soul. That's why he has bewitched you. It's witchcraft. See, I will never account for your soul. I will only account for what I preach. Every one of us will give account of ourselves. You will account for what you had and what you did with what you had. I will account for what I preach, what I said. And that's why I say it boldly, whether you like it or not, I am not looking at you. I am looking at the author and finisher of my ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How can you say you are preparing to go home? Preparing to go home. And the basic ingredient for qualification to go in the rapture, you don't have it. I was sitting down as Pastor Francis was rounding up his message, and then encouraging you not to to stay away from your town unions. And what came to my mind is that is wisdom for living. But in the church here, you cannot form association of or have here believers. You cannot form association of Newe believers. And don't bring any coloration of saying we are coming together to go and evangelize our village. It's a lie. It is a village town meeting you want to hold in the church. If you want to go evangelize your village, then sponsor the evangelical people. Let them go there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a denominational hangover. Come out of it. Come out of it. Your first basic choice for marrying a man, marrying a woman, is that he comes from your village. You are still in Babylon. You are still in Babylon. No, come out of her. That is how Babylonians think. That's how Babylonians think. And it is the spirit of polygamy that will make a man propose to this one. Propose to this one. Propose to this one. Propose to this one. You are a polygamy. It's a Babylonian spirit. The Babylonian spirit. Hey, Babylonians, listen to me. Your end is at the door. Your end is at the door. Stand up, I don't finish. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Everybody now.
Come to the Savior. Make no delay.
Oh yes.
There in His word, He has shown us the way.
Oh yes.
There in our midst, He's standing today. Let us say, He's gone.
Joyful, joyful,
joyful, joyful, wisdom is in Him. Well, from sea, and a pure and sweet.
Yes, sir.
And we shall gather, Savior, with Him. In our next hour. So, Father, children, oh, yeah, it's war. Let every heart be born and rejoice. And let us freely make Him our choice. Do not believe our God.
Joyful, joyful, joyful.
Joyful, we come into Him. Well, from sea, the heart of your earthling. And we shall gather, Savior, with Thee. In our eternal home. Today.